The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
This will be our final show together for this year. Welcome on in. We are excited to be here today. I'm still not quite right, but we have Fabs with us. We have Michael Fabiano. One final time, fantasy playoffs are in full force. We do Michael Fabiano in fantasy football here on Tuesdays. So Fabs will be with us. We'll bring back yesterday with John Wilner, too, on the backside of this, because I'm going to rest this bad boy. And he was very good. So we'll get into that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. Start banking better and getting more with free checking from Desert Financial. Join a winning team at desertfinancial.com. Great people there. We appreciate their support. Jeff Meachie and company through the year. And that's that. All right. So today I am going to, I'm going to give you a kind of a heads up deal on this. If you are into basketball, and I am into all sports, I am not one that just says, you know, I am just a football good guy. No, that's not me. I can watch the World Cup, as I did the other morning, very easily, as watch the Suns play the Lakers last night with, like, neither team at nearly full strength. I can take that in. I can go hang out, as I did yesterday, over at Visit Mesa for a couple basketball tournaments. And today I'm going to be at Visit Mesa at Mountain View High School at 4:30 to watch Perry High play. Why am I telling you this? Because if you're watching this, it means you're kind of into community, I would think. If you've gotten this show through the years, this is not a show that you pick up and you watch once or twice. You're like, oh, I'm going to be back. There's going to be times you really hate this show. It's the way it is. There's times where I get so local and get so into the weeds, but if you follow it enough, I think you'll get after a while that I'm kind of into the kid next door. I'm kind of into when the team doesn't play well at the college or pro level, that we just call it as we see it. We don't sit here and sugarcoat the nonsense. There's too much of that that goes on. We don't worry about partner relationships. We don't worry about, oh my gosh, I'm going to get yelled at by this person or that person. We don't, I mean, it happens. And most of the time we're dead flat right and they're just doing their job, and you have to have some grace and understand that people get paid to protect brands even when the brands stink. You know, when yesterday Baxter Holmes drops another story on the Suns in their front office and, oh, it's not that big a deal, and why can't they just move on from this? No, that's not how it goes. So yeah, you know, I'll be over at a high school today. It's no big deal. I had some people that have been in this market a long time. They're all in the pro stuff. They're all in the pro stuff. The pro stuff's fine. Pro stuff's easy. You have to work if you're going to go to a college or a high school game to go get a story. You do. And I'm going to go out today. I'm going to see a couple kids that will likely play in the NBA that are right here in our own backyard. Very much looking forward to that. And I would encourage you to do the same. You know, go find them. Last night, I started getting, it was yesterday afternoon, about Arizona State football. It's really interesting what's going on in town. So you know that ASU has been so far off the radar for so long, and they get this little burst of when they hire Herm, and you know Todd comes in, and they win 10 games with Dennis's players, and things start to go the wrong direction. And you know, you start hearing about all the nonsense, which ends up being NCAA investigation, and none of the coaches are even coaching anymore, and waiting for, you know, everything that's gone on this year around ASU football has been predictable. It has been. Like, Herm should have been fired a year ago, but we had to go through the first part of the season this year for Herm to be shown the transfer portal permanently. And it's, you know, today's show is going to be a little bit of a reflection on some things. I think yesterday when it came out that Arizona State gets a transfer quarterback from Notre Dame who has 3 years of eligibility left, there's this immediate, well, I thought that Borgay was the guy, or I thought Jacob Conover was the guy. And no, you know, competition's a good thing. Competition's a good thing. In Tucson, Jed Fish is having players transfer in. Big time programs. People are like, oh my gosh, what is going on? What are those kids thinking? It's really simple. If you have NIL in place, name, image, likeness, if somebody's going to write a check, they don't care. Like this college game that you and I have used to seeing, you don't have to go to Alabama or Texas or Notre Dame. You don't have to. Yeah, you can be on television. You know, it used to be, well, you have to be seen on TV. Like the Pac-12 network deal is now kind of an irrelevant topic. I've been banging that chest for a long time, saying kids aren't going to go to a place where they can't be seen. Well, now they can go to a place, get paid a lot of money, and not care. I don't really care if mom or dad or aunts and uncles can see me play, because I can just send them a ticket, or somebody connected somewhere is going to find a way to make sure that my family is able to come out and watch games. So Pac-12 network, lack of distribution, all that stuff is a good business sense to talk about, but it's not going to be what drives the engine. It's not. In Tucson, Jim Click is a big automotive guy. Jim's been there a long time. Jim Click decided, I'm going to pay some big-time NIL money to the starting quarterback, Jaden DeLore, and their wide receiver, and what do you know? And they have to do some community service. But all of a sudden, those guys didn't go in the portal. I think it's pretty stunning. Elijah Badger is still sitting at Arizona State. Does it have everything to do with Kenny Dillingham being the head coach? I would say no. It has to be that somebody somewhere or a group of people are finally funding him so he can stay here. I don't know how much he's making. I was at an event where he was being pretty much put out there, and I had somebody with me, a business person, and pretty much got hit up just right away. Like, yep, this is Elijah. He needs money. You need to write him a check. Not to me, but to the person I was with. So it's pretty interesting. Okay, this is how it goes now. So, you know, tomorrow's National Letter of Intent Day. Tomorrow is usually Christmas. It's usually Christmas for the college football fan. The fan through the years. If you're north of, I don't know, if you're north of 30 on this discussion, you know that you get your new class, players coming in. You're all excited. Man, look at this class. We have the best class in the country, man. We're ranked number two. We're ranked number four. And that's how you would go about it. We got this guy away from this school. We flipped this kid and all that stuff. And that's now so old. That is get off my lawn old stuff now. Now it is tomorrow. It's just one day of many. Here's how the calendar is going to go now. This isn't me pontificating. It's just what it is. Tomorrow, the 21st, there will be players signing. There will be. I don't think there's going to be many high school kids. The high-end ones, Amari Washington tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at Chandler High School in their weight room is going to sign his letter to go to the University of Oregon. Okay. Tomorrow at, I think it's 12:30, Hamilton is going to have a bunch of their players. Okay. And at 1 o'clock, Bash is going to have a bunch of their players. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. But there's a lot of high school players that are not going to sign tomorrow because tomorrow's about Portal Day. My understanding is on Portal Day, you really can't talk about those guys until they get on campus and school starts. It's going to be the middle of January in some cases. Some cases. And so tomorrow is going to be kind of like, oh, okay. There'll be a lot of heartbreak. There'll be a lot of anxious parents already hearing from them on the high school end saying, my kid is being slept on. My kid he's done this. He's done that. He's done this. And it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean a thing. Because with the portal, you're not a priority. The worst part of the portal is going on full display right now and tomorrow for high school players. All right. So then we get to February 4th. First Wednesday in February is going to be the next big day, February 3rd, February 4th, right around there. That'll be the next day. That'll be the late signing period. And that is where I think you'll see some high school kids that come through. There's going to be a lot of Heartbreak City. There's going to be these high school kids, man, you're a five-star, you're a four-star, oh, you're this, you're that. But, and all of a sudden it's, yeah, the schools that were interested in you, they went to the portal. So you're going to have to settle for lowering your sights a little bit. And you're going to have crazy parents saying, but my kid, well, no, that's not how it works in this new world. So then you're going to have players that sign there. Then spring ball is going to happen. And then, have you heard about this beauty? We talked about this a little bit, but just in case you're coming in on this conversation, there is now a second transfer portal that will hit in May. That's right. Spring football doesn't go right. I committed to a coach who's no longer here. Somewhere, somebody nefarious is coming along saying, yeah, you know, they kind of disrespect you over there. We got a bag of money sitting here in the backseat of this car and some Taco Bell. why don't you get out of there and come over here? So we're going to have a whole nother group of players. So these poor high school kids, I'm going to sign over here because coach really likes me. Coach really cares about me. And then second transfer portal window hits, and all of a sudden there's like three quarterbacks that come in, and this kid's like, You're not going to know what kind of team you are going to have in most cases until you get to about May 20th. In this new world, you're not going to know what your roster looks like until about May 20th. Is it bad? I don't know. It's just different. If you're used to tomorrow going to go brag up to your friends, you're a USC guy and you're going to say, I got all these guys and Notre Dame didn't, you're in that battle. Yeah, you're going to have some individual wars to talk about. Yeah, you're going to have a Heisman Trophy returner. But until you get through all of this, and it's going to happen. Like, there's guys bolting Georgia for U of A. Come on. There's guys that are bolting Notre Dame for Arizona State that's been mired in mediocrity forever. I don't care about either one of the schools. I don't. I have a dog in the fight. But both these schools have been so mediocre, and now they're not. It's interesting. It's really interesting. Like, do I think Kenny Dillingham's going to win more than four or five games? They have a tough schedule. They do. But all of a sudden, the roster that was decimated, that wasn't any good, that was going to lose Elijah Badger, he stayed. He was going to lose Jalen Conyers, he stayed. And now they've added pieces. And they brought back a bunch of players that were here in high school. Doesn't mean they can play. Let's be really clear about that. Because I know that backlash is coming at me from some people, probably some people at ASU. Because I've been the one pounding the table saying, you can't let all of these high school kids that are really good here in Arizona get away. It doesn't mean you bring them all back. And it doesn't mean that they can still play. There's going to be some hits. There's going to be some misses. When I see the coaching staff that's been put together at Arizona State and U of A, you know, I'll just start with U of A first. It's very impressive that Jed is keeping assistant coaches there. That tells you what you need to know. That program is heading in the right direction. They go from one win to five. His staff has not had mass turnover. It's not people saying, I got to get the hell out of Dodge because this is Tucson. Kenny's brought in a whole bunch of guys that many of us in the high school space and college space know about. Doesn't mean a thing, really. It doesn't. They're going to go on campus and do what should have been done for the last 15 years but wasn't done because it was beyond neglect. It was embarrassing how bad Arizona State was with high schools. And so now all of a sudden it's like, see, we got all these guys here. That's fine. I don't know how they're going to work together as a staff. Do you? Oh, they're going to be great. No, you're a fanboy. You're just being a fanboy. I'm sitting here looking at this realistic. I don't know how it's going to go down if somebody says, because this is going to happen, hey, Sean, we don't do it that way. I'm the head coach. Or this is not really the style, Jason, that I want us to do. If you think a group of coaches just gets together and everything is kumbaya, hands being held 24/7, 365 for the rest of their lives, okay, it's great to believe that. I guess you're writing a check and you have a, you know, pitchforks up and all that nonsense. I'm just saying that it's going to be really interesting. I'm not expecting the worst. I'm not expecting the best. It's just going to be really interesting. The NBA is fantastic, they used to say back in the day. Was it fantastic last night watching LeBron and Anthony Davis and Devin Booker all sitting out? That was a regular season game in, you know, mid-December. And when I talk with people about, oh, man, the Suns look so great, and it's, I don't know, what did you make out of that 26-point win last night? Chris Paul played well. You know, I thought it was pretty cool. Monty Williams had three people in the back of the room in the post game that were wrongfully imprisoned. Like, Monty does stuff that and uses his platform in the right way. I really respect that. Really do. the Masters. So they've invited Bryson and Koepka and all the guys that are over on the LIV side. The Masters announced today that, you know, it was a finely worded statement. Like, this is really uncomfortable, but we want to have everybody together to play golf. So I think April's going to be fun, because I don't know what it's going to be like when Phil and Tiger are together. I don't know what it's going to be like if Rory is paired up with Bryson or Koepka or Dustin Johnson or Matsuyama or any of those guys. I know it's going to be good for golf, going to be a lot of conversation, but the Masters is going to have the LIV guys involved. And that's that. Fabs is next. Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, SiriusXM, and CBS Sports. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, of course, Fabs shows up decked out as a cow. I mean,
ho, ho, ho.
Listen to you. Yeah, and you get
bringing the gift of a fantasy playoff win, hopefully.
Yeah, you get Santa Fabs with Jalen Hurts hurt, which, by the way, that's all the people are sending me. I mean, there's a few notes about James Cook and Khalil Herbert, but everything is about Jalen Hurts. So let's just start right there. This is a big injury. So what do you make out of it?
Fantasy MVP, right? I mean, he's right up there. He's one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy football. It's him and Mahomes and Allen. They're all great. You can't replace them. You can't. And my guess is that quarterback is not a deep position this year. Like last week, Brad, I was arguing that there were probably, I don't know, 10 to 12 unstartable quarterbacks in traditional fantasy leagues. And it was the first round of the playoffs. You got all these backups. I mean, hell, who are the Cardinals going to start this week? Is it going to be their third stringer again? Right? I mean, like, no Murray. McCoy had a concussion. So, I mean, it's going to be McSorley, I would think, right?
McSorley.
I mean, geez, the lead. But I mean, Buccaneers defense, by the way. So, quarterback's bad. I mean, the best you can hope to get if you don't have a backup on your roster is probably Brock Purdy or maybe Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's not, in a competitive league, there's not going to be much out there. Like, Lawrence is long gone. You're not playing Zach Wilson against the Jaguars. Mike White would have been an option, but he's not going to play. It stinks. Listen, it's bad luck. It really is bad luck. Good luck for my Cowboys. Of course, we screwed ourselves last week losing to the Jags, because then maybe we had a chance to win the division, but whatever. We made the playoffs. We'll break my heart and others once we get to the postseason. That's neither here nor there. But, I mean, the simple answer, buddy, is that there's no replacing Jalen Hurts. There isn't. So when you're setting your lineups, if you lost Hurts and you've got two players with similar value, you got to go with the guy with the higher ceiling, because you're going to need those points. You're going to have to make up for Hurts somehow.
Okay, so let's go through this. Adam Schefter's tweet was unlikely to play. Okay?
This week, right.
Unlikely.
Right.
Do you make anything out of that? Is this just a whole lot of, look, you got to monitor all the way up to the last second? Because usually it is out, not playing. Unlikely means, you know.
And that's a later window game on Christmas Eve too. So I saw some reports on NFL Network, Tom Pelissero, that said that Minshew's probably going to play. And the Eagles, because they've already clinched the division, for the most part, they're going to be the number one seed. They want to give him a little bit of rest. And, you know, Tom even said, if this were the Super Bowl, Hurts would figure out a way to play.
Sure.
And even though it's the Cowboys, I mean, they're three games up, and they've already beaten the Cowboys once. And we're going into week, you know, 16. So, I mean, basically everything's wrapped up for the Eagles. I think they're erring on the side of caution. And not for nothing, Gardner Minshew's not a terrible quarterback, right? As far as backups go, he's not bad.
Okay, the other one that's out there is Lamar Jackson. And so where are you at on Lamar Jackson for this week?
Early in the week, we're not exactly sure exactly if he'll be back or not. My guess is that he'd probably be out another week. They should be able to beat Atlanta without Lamar Jackson, but I know if Lamar is ready to go, he's going to come back. It's too early in the week right now to get a definitive report on him, but fingers crossed if you have Lamar that he does come back. The problem is, though, Brad, he hadn't been great.
Right.
Yeah, he hadn't been great in the last month and a half before he got hurt. So the matchup's right, though.
Okay, so if you're sitting there and those are your options at quarterback, let's say it's Jackson, he's not back, and Hurts isn't playing – and you're sitting there saying, okay, I've got to decide between, let's say, Brock Purdy and Gardner Minshew, which way is Fabs going on that one?
I'd probably go with Purdy, who's looked pretty good. Sorry, I had to. I can't stop. It's awful. He's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Can I have another touchdown, Brock Purdy, please? Like, okay, I'll stop now. Yeah. But he's looked good. They got the Commanders coming up. There might be some leagues where, like, maybe Daniel Jones is floating around out there. You got the Vikings this week. You know, maybe he can give you something. But it's tough. I'd probably go Purdy there, though. The Cowboys defense, I will tell you this. Their defensive backfield is a mess right now of injuries. We miss Anthony Brown big time. So, and Lawrence lit us up like a Christmas tree last week. So I wouldn't be surprised if Gardner throws for like 265 and a couple of touchdowns. But he also is a guy who, you know, time to time will turn the ball over. And if the Cowboys have any gumption, if the Cowboys have any sort of motivation this week, it's that they got embarrassed last week. That defense got embarrassed. And now they're at home in a huge game against the Eagles. Even without Hurts, it's a huge game. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys go out there and win that game, it'll make a statement. And I know everyone's going to say, well, it was without Hurts.
Doesn't matter.
They got to win. The Cowboys got to win this game. If they lose to the Eagles and Gardner Minshew, it's not going to be going good into the playoffs.
Santa Fabs is with us for a couple of minutes. When you look at guys a week from now, since you and I are going to be done, just so the audience knows, we are not working. Well, I'm not working next week. I am off because I can say I'm off. So I've got to look ahead with this on Fabs. We're sitting here on this Tuesday. Are we looking next week at guys being rested? It feels like we're not going to have that issue as much because there's so much uncertainty. Can you project out a little bit and say, yeah, you know what? It's going to be pretty good next week for a championship.
I don't think you're going to have any issues, honestly. The only team would be the Eagles. And we're going to lose Hurts this week because of the shoulder. At least it looks like that. Now, the NFL's done a really smart thing in the last few years with the schedule. Late in the year, you know, you're playing divisional opponents, and those are important games. Mm-hmm. Week 18, which is where we don't go in fantasy, that's when you could run into some problems, which is that was the issue back when there were 16 games and it was a week 17 issue. You didn't play a championship. But I think next week we're pretty good because the AFC, the seeding is still all up for grabs, like with the Chiefs and the Bills and the Bengals. So, like, those teams are all out, they all got something to play for. The only team really is the Eagles. And I don't see the Eagles sitting any of their starters aside from maybe Hurts. If he doesn't play against the Cowboys, maybe he won't play in week 17, which will stink. But I think that might be the only one. It's when you get into week 18 when you got to worry about that stuff.
Okay, two other questions for you, and I'll get you out of here. Where was Fabs right this year? Where was Fabs right?
Fabs, I will tell you
that this and Fabs was dead flat. Right.
I will tell you this. Early in the season, there was a lot of, wow, what is going on? It's been a very strange season. And in terms of the draft strategies, the whole wait on a quarterback thing for the first time in a long time didn't work because we don't have the depth we had. Brady's been bad. Rodgers has been bad. Russell's been brutal. Stafford was not good before he got hurt. That's going to change next season. I feel like you're going to see Mahomes and Hurts and Josh Allen going earlier in drafts than we saw, you know, this past season. In terms of players that, you know, that I liked that sort of came out and made a pretty big fantasy impact.
Yep.
You know, I got to be honest with you. There are a few players that I really liked that ended up getting hurt. Like, I really liked Trey Lance, if you remember him, way back when. Now the Niners seem to have, like, three good quarterbacks with Brock Purdy, so who knows what's going to happen there. But there are certainly some guys out there. I liked Garrett Wilson. I liked Breece Hall before he got hurt for the Jets. Didn't expect Garrett Wilson to be this good, but certainly was excited about his prospects. And we also saw the rookies come out. Like, I liked Damian Pierce. He was really good before he got hurt. And at the end of the season, he started to fall off a little bit. But Pierce was a guy that plenty of fantasy managers were a little bit high on going into the season because of the opportunity there in Houston. So he certainly was a player that I was pretty high on. I was wrong about Tyreek. I will tell you that. I didn't think Tyreek would be a top five wide receiver. I had him ranked at the bottom half of the top 10 because I didn't think Tua was going to be able to support two elite receivers. And Tyreek made me look bad, and he's been phenomenal. I didn't think he would be as good as he is. CeeDee Lamb is having, you know, what you would call a breakout season. This is going to end up being his best season. You know, I love CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
Tony Pollard also for the Cowboys. You know, Jalen Hurts was a, you know, top five quarterback in the rankings. And I will say this, tight end, I think we're all wrong about Mark Andrews. I don't know what's happened to Mark Andrews. I would play him this week against Atlanta, but Mark Andrews has been one of the bigger disappointments in fantasy football. In terms of the players that we all liked, Andrews has been a guy that has just not worked out. Najee Harris has been a guy who has just not worked out. So to be honest with you, in a difficult season, there's been a lot of audibling. There's been a lot of audibling this year. I think the starts and sits were pretty spot on. The player props this year, also pretty spot on. Last week went 7-1, but no one's perfect. No one's perfect. This was a, in terms of the draft stuff and the week to week managing of the roster, this was probably the hardest season that I've gone through. And I've been doing this for over 20 years because of the just unpredictability in the NFL. No one saw the Brady collapse coming. There were some players that we didn't think were going to have. Jonathan Taylor, geez Louise.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor, now he's going to be out for the season. One of the worst first round picks in a while. Well, McCaffrey too, because of injuries. So we're still in the playoffs though, Brad. 10 leagues out of 14, still alive, went undefeated this week. So still having a good season, but there were some peaks and valleys, that is for sure. And you know, I'm always honest. So
no, you are. You mentioned Tyreek.
The miss. I was dead wrong.
The guy
I didn't think he would be a dud. I just didn't think he was going to be elite, and he's been amazing. You know, even like Lamar's hasn't been good this year. It's been a really weird year where like players that we really thought we were going to be able to count on based on their past successes, it didn't work out a lot of times. And so now we're going to have to pivot next year, and I think draft strategies will look a little bit different. You're still going to see running backs going early. By the way, Ken Walker is another guy that I loved, and he's been a league winner. A little bit down the last couple of weeks, but I'm playing him against Kansas City this weekend. But you're going to see a lot of running backs in the first round still. After that, I think people are going to fade the position more and go heavy wide receivers and maybe even grab one of those elite quarterbacks next season. The drafts are going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to fire the guy that I've been with for 34 years because we are the last.
Wow, 34 years.
Yeah. Last pick, first round. And I said, just take Josh Allen. And he said, no. And he's in San Diego. And he takes Herbert. And I'm just like, that's the dumbest pick I've ever made.
Herbert. He's been dreadful. That's another one.
He's been dreadful.
That's another one.
Terrible. So
no one saw that coming. He's been terrible.
Terrible.
So, against the Titans, who every quarterback that they have played has had at least one touchdown pass against them.
Horrible.
Justin Herbert is the only one. Justin Herbert. It hasn't been a fun season to prognosticate, but we're battling through. We've been battling all year long. We audible and we get it done.
Yeah. All right. Be safe. Safe travels.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas. I don't have a Santa Fab card, but it's all right. I got you and your cowboy hat. I'm good, man. I'm good. So
I love it.
All right. Be great. See ya.
Talk to you later, pal.
There's Michael Fabiano, and we're back with more after this timeout.